Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this week's racing podcast in association with Paddy Power. We will be looking at all the best bets for the weekend's action. I am joined in studio by betting editor Mr. Paul Keeley. On the line, we also have Brendan Duke and James Ryan from Paddy Power. Exciting weekend's action. We've got ITV Racing at Kempton, Newcastle and Lingfield on Saturday. We'll start at Kempton. Paddy Power, can we please get some prices on the 888 Sport Pendle Novices Chase, please?
Can indeed, Stuart, and Bags Grooves are 2-1 joint favourite with Secret Investor. Goodman Pat is 7-2 and Casa Fior is 7-2.
And we'll stay with you, James. What do you think?
I'm going to go for Bags Groove here. I just think the step back down trip to 2 mile 4 and on this good ground, I just think he's going to go a really good pace the whole way. Kind of held the form, hopefully he'll hold the form with Secret Investor from that start 3 starts ago. I just think with the ground and going that good pace, and he's a good fine leper and he should enjoy the track, I just think he could be tough to beat even with the £5 allowance.
Brilliant. Brendan, are you with or against Bags Groove?
Just about with Bags Groove, Stuart. It takes a bit of forgiving the run in Kempton because, I mean, he did have the run of the race and he jumped well and then he just cut out so badly, but he's generally a very reliable horse. I'll forgive him that. It was more a price thing. I tissued the race and I made him fab. He still, even with the penalty, he still comes out the best horse in the race at the weights. I just about made him fab. He's joined fab. I was struggling for an angle in, so I'll go with that and just pick him at the prices.
Perfect. And Paul, we're going 3-for-3 with Bags?
No, I'm not going to forgive him because I just thought that was a really bad run. I know he's won round there before, but he looked like he hated every minute of it, and I don't know why. And I know he's had a couple of months break, but I mean, it wasn't the trip to beat him because he was beaten a long way out, and I'm just not 100% sure. You've got to remember that when he beat Secret Investor earlier in the season, that was Secret Investor's debut over fences. He's since won a good second to OK Corralla, who a lot of people think is going to win the National Hunt Chase, and he's quite a short price favourite for it at Warwick next time, and might not have stayed then, but he travelled beautifully throughout the race until the straight, and I think coming back in trip will be perfect for him. I think he'll be the one, he is the one to beat for me.
Perfect. Paul Nicholls has won 7 of the last 10 renewals as well, with the likes of Surname last year, Frodon as well, so that's another positive angle. The next race that we'll have a look at is the 888 Sport Take 'Em On Adonis Juvenile Hurdle. It's a Grade 2, and James, can you hit us up with some prices, please?
Fusil Raffles is our favourite at 7-2, Echo is 9-2, Giving Glance is 5-1, Red Force won 7-1, and Beat the Judge is 8-1.
Perfect. And Paul, we finished with you in the last time, so we'll start with you here. What are your thoughts?
This is a mad race, isn't it? I mean, it was an absolute guess-up, isn't it? I mean, we just listened to that betting. 3 of the first 4 in a betting either haven't run over hurdles or haven't at all or not in Britain. The favourite Fusil Raffles ran a couple of times in France. Proper guess up. And you know, earlier in the week Harry Cobden was on Red Force One. Now he seems to have switched to Echo. Last ran in the German Derby, only beat one home, but was actually 4 favourite. Obviously Paul Nicholls has had horses in the Dovekir and the Adonis over the years come out and win first time out or get beat and keep their novice status for the next year. He's obviously doing this with both of these. Red Force One was 80 something on the flat. I'd have said Echo was probably a little bit better. I'd guess Echo. I'm going to Kempton tomorrow, but this will be a 5-a race. Like, you know what I mean? Because, you know, all I can say is the ones that have run aren't very good.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I mean, I think the one who's shown the best form is Protectorate, and he was beaten 22 lengths by Fakir Duderis. Might actually appreciate Kempton because he looked like he didn't stay at Cheltenham, but even so, if none of these can beat them, then you can forget, you know, even a place for the Triumph Hurdle.
Perfect. And Brendan, guess up for you, or have you got one here?
I certainly have, Stuart. I'm a professional guesser, so this race is made for me. I quite like Petit Palais. I was he's an interesting horse. He had 3 runs on the flat for John Gosselin, and he won a maiden, and he ran to a reasonable level by Sean Salee. Sean's the lead is out of a Galileo mare, so he'll probably want further in time, but I was quite taken with him in Ludlow. He fluffed the first and the second last and the last. But in between, he showed good hurdling technique. And I think he was just looking around up the straight. The third has got beaten since, granted, which is a bit of a worry. But the second brought a reasonable level of form from France. I just thought he was really impressive. I expect a more professional round of jumping tomorrow. 13 runners should be a decent pace on here, make it somewhat of a stamina test. And James called out the prices there, and he was one of the bar horses. I'll certainly be backing him at 8-1 or bigger.
And James, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so just to confirm that Petit Palais was 10-1, Brendan. He's also a half brother to Galileo Gold, a Guineas winner. Just as an interesting side note.
Disappointing, man.
Yeah.
I'm
I'm coming at this kind of the same way as Paul was coming at it, looking at the two Nichols horses. I would have really liked Red Force One earlier on in the week when Cobden was jocked up on him, but obviously Cobden's got off him. But I think I'm still going to stick with Red Force One. We know he's coming into the race in good form, having run really well behind Technological 2 weeks ago. It's a pretty high level, like he's rated 89. I like a flat horse who's going jumping that they can settle really well, and he seems to be able to settle really well in his races. So hopefully he will settle and be able to jump. I think I'm going to stick with him, and he's fit and hopefully he'll run well.
Brilliant, James, and we'll stick with you for the Sky Bet Dovecote Novices Hurdle. Obviously a decent race with a very good honour roll. You've got the likes of Sire de Grugy, Irving, Global Citizen on there. Can you give us your prices and your thoughts on this? Angel's Breath, I'm sure, will be a short priced favourite.
Indeed, Angel's Breath is 5-6, Scarlet Dragon is 3-1, Rouge Vif is 8-1, Southfield Stone is 10-1, and it's 12-1 bar.
And your thoughts on the race?
I'm going to stick with Angel's Breath here. Even though there were only four obstacles the last day, I thought he took them all very well, even the way he jumped them, and I thought he loved the way he travelled and galloped out to the line. He looks like a real honest sort with his ears pinned back to his pole, and he just could be a proper horse. I really like Scarlet Dragon last year. I actually quite half fancied him for the Supreme when he was still entered after his first run behind Global Citizen, but I just love him if he settled a little bit better, and that's really the reason why I'm going to stick with Angel's Breath here. I think that, you know, he mightn't be able to, if he settled better, he could be a lot better horse than he is. But I'm going to stick with Angel's Breath. I think he could be a good horse.
Paul, Angel's Breath. I mean, he's a short price there.
Well, I'm one to take on. I mean, I have vested interest because I'd rather be running the Ballymore because I backed Al Dancer for the Supreme. And I keep telling myself this horse is, he's bred to want further than two miles. He's by Chantou, whose best progeny tend to won a trip. He's from a point-to-point field, having won a point, not that many pointers win a Supreme. But then Nicky Henderson says he's a two-miler, and he's had a fair few brilliant ones to compare him against, isn't he? Like, you know, and will know a hell of a lot more than me. But I'm still going to take him on. What happened at, I got no problem with his jumping whatsoever. He jumped fine at Ascot, but he only jumped four hurdles, and you know, in essence, it was a 2 mile flat race on soft ground around a stiff track. And now he's got eight hurdles on good ground, quickening ground all the time as well, because it's remarkably warm for this time of year. And he's really got to show it. And he's got a £5 penalty because that was a grade two. I mean, winning a grade two first time out, you've got to give him, you know, credit. But he's coming up against a horse with proper flat speed in Scarlet Dragon as well. And if Scarlet Dragon does settle and can save a bit at the end, I mean, he was beaten less than three lengths by Wissahickon two starts ago. I mean, that's a Group 1 horse who's going to win the Winter Derby tomorrow. So, you know, I mean, if he's around then, and Angel's Breath can outspeed him, then he's a proper horse. Like, you know, and he might well be, but at the prices, it's Scarlet Dragon for me.
So, spoiler alert there, viewers. We know what Paul's going to say when we get round to the Winter Derby.
He's on.
Absolutely. Brendan, with your professional guesser's hat on, how do you see this one going?
Well, I saw it very similar to James, so I don't know whether that's a good or a bad reflection on James, but I love the way Angel's Breath went through the race the last day. You can maybe pick holes in the form, but I think the second, Danny Kerwin, will prove a very good horse in time. And Seddon ran pretty well in a handicap the next day. I just loved his head carriage. He was a touch keen early on, but that's because they dawdled early on. I loved the way he jumped. I loved his head carriage. I think he's a problem. I mean, Scarlet Dragon has never settled in a race in its life, so I don't see why that would change tomorrow. And I think if
hasn't
it
held
becomes
him back
a battle,
too much, though, to be fair, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, well. He still got to. He has still got to a very good level. In fairness, you just when you're watching him, I don't know, maybe watching him with my Greenpeace hat on, thinking energy efficiency, if he could only settle. But anyway, he will run to a good level. And maybe Paul's right, maybe he is a bit short, but I want to believe in Angel's Breath, so I'll tip him.
Perfect. And the last race at Kempton that we will preview is the 3:35, the 888 Sport Handicap Chase. It's a Grade 3. And James, can we get some prices, please?
Glen Rocco is our 11-4 favourite. Adrian DuPont is 9-2. Talk is Cheap, 5-1. Rather Be, 6-1. Double Shuffle, 8-1. And it's 9-1 bar.
And Brendan, we'll let you have first stab at the 888 Sport Handicap Chase. What do you fancy?
What do I fancy? Well, it's more what do I not fancy. I think there's a couple of ropey jumpers in here, including the favourite. The favourite is going places, but I'd be worried, a little bit worried about his jump. And I thought this Diderot Vallis was a big price of 14-1 for a horse on a half. Now, it's Venetia Williams, and he has improved for soft ground, but he's only a six-year-old, and he has form on decent ground in Ireland. Won a race that's probably an all right race the last day in Carlisle, and the 4K of Blanco has gone in, and the second and third came into the race in good form. I was just a bit surprised with his profile, not totally exposed, that he was 14-1, and I think you could get out in front and put a few of these horses, they're jumping, could be vulnerable. I think you could put a few of them under pressure, and 14-1, I'd expect him to outrun his price.
Perfect. And James?
Yeah, I like Talk is Cheap here, although it's a really competitive race, and when I was going through it, there was five or six I could make an argument for, but I settled on Talk is Cheap. Just on his last run, he was given £6 down the blind side, and you know, I just really liked how he travelled through the race. I thought it was a really good placing, because even kind of no matter how well he ran in that race, he was probably going to stay on the same mark. And I think they will go for it today. His form against pretty much all the best novices this season, and he hasn't really run a bad race over fences, so I still think he could be the horse in here that £5 or £6 in hands, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ended the year kind of on a 1.55 mark, and he's on 1.45 at the moment, so he's the one that I ended up settling on.
Perfect. And Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those. I think Glen Rocco is a terrible price. I mean, obviously he did really well to finish second in Glen Force at Kempton over Christmas over 2.5 miles when he was off the bridle all the way around. And he stepped up dramatically next time up a 3 mile, but all his rivals jumped terribly there. Like, you know what I mean? There wasn't a fence went by before the one of them didn't it. Like, you know what I mean? And he's up a massive amount for it. I thought Adrian DuPont should be favourite because he won so easily there, and you know how some Paul Nicholls youngsters have been improving this year, and he could easily have that sort of profile. But the two down the bottom of the weights really interested me, because they're simply two novices who have run massive career bests, you know, on their last couple of starts. And, you know, this Diderot Vallis, yes, he has won his two races for Venetia Williams on soft ground. And yes, everybody associates Venetia Williams with soft ground, although why a trainer should have anything to do with what a horse goes on other than what they buy. But obviously this horse is an ex-Irish, used to be owned by Rich Ritchie, trained by Willie Mullins. His best form by an absolute mile, £7, £8, £9, was in a handicap hurdle at Killarney, I think it was, on good ground, the last run for Willie Mullins. So, you know, if he carries on that improvement for better ground, and he looks like he wants to go up in trip as well, then he's got to have a massive chance. And I don't see why a horse, you know, one of the youngest in the race going forward should be a double-figure price. Similar with Walt, he's a second-season novice. He's a bit older, but he was actually favourite three starts ago to give a chunk of weight to Glen Rocco. Ran no sort of race at all. Glen Rocco won. But since then, he's come out and absolutely bolted up at Taunton. And then he finished second to the Darasha counter at Newby from out of the handicap. That was an excellent run as well. And yeah, Darasha counter was second to Now McGinty. He was runner-up in a Grade 2 Reynoldstown last Saturday. Good piece of form. They're both double figures. Slight worry, Neil Mulholland is not in the greatest of form, but they would definitely be my two against the field.
Perfect. And before we go to a break, Paul, I just have a very quick chat with you about the Racing Post 2019 Cheltenham Festival Guide, because obviously you have contributed to it fairly heavily. It's 208 pages of unrivaled festival analysis featuring race-by-race verdicts from yourself. What's it like?
Well, I think it's good. I hope so. 36,000 words of complete nonsense from me at the back. I hope not. Yes. Oh, yeah. It took ages. It's, you know, it takes an awful lot of work from a lot of people to put that together in such a short space of time, especially with everything changing. We had we probably had a stroke of luck. We're getting 6 days off with the racing being banned because of the flu, and then other trainers not being able to run their good horses. Right, we can get this out the door. Nothing's running. But I mean, yeah, I hope everybody likes it. I think it's definitely worth it. There's lots of good reads in there. Outside of mine.
Well, I mean, you've done a fantastic job.
Yeah, I hope so.
It looks brilliant.
I hope so, and hopefully we'll have some winners.
Absolutely.
Another bit in the punting armoury for you for Cheltenham.
Absolutely. Along with Paul, there is also a Q&A with the major bookmakers, a tipster forum on the Grade 1s and novice races. The book costs £12.99 and is available from racingpost.com/shop. So make sure you buy one today.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
And we are back, and we will head to Newcastle now for the Vertem Ida Handicap Chase. It is over 4 miles, half a furlong. It is normally an absolute slog, but this year could be run on good to soft ground. And I guess that makes it a very different race. James, has it been more difficult to price up this year, or what are your prices?
I think so. These are still our anti-post price, so we'll sit down this evening and we'll be really going through it, and it probably will be a little bit of a different vibe to what we would go from normal years. And Vicente is our 11-2 favourite at the moment, followed by De Klondike at 7-1, Baywing 7-1, Just Your Type 7-1, Agdis Malbero 8-1, West of the Edge 8-1, and 10-1 bar.
And we'll stick with you, James. Where do you see the value?
I kind of came down on West of the Edge. Now, he's had a couple of poor runs lately, but kind of went back and watched this race last year. And just the way he travelled through it, and he's £3 lower, William Kennedy is back up on him. I just think for Dr. Newland, who can kind of focus on these kind of big races, I just think he could have a good chance and he could go well. I just hope the way he can travel into the race, even though I'd like the ground to be a little bit on the softer side. But he has run well on soft ground before, and hopefully it won't be too much on the good side. But he's the one I'm going to stick with.
Perfect. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, two up-and-comers with different profiles. Kimberlite Candy was a big price earlier in the week and still at double-figure price. I think that is a big price. Now, obviously, he was third to Classic Ben in the Masters Handicap Chase at Sandown last time and was only really just getting going. Obviously, a lot of his form is on soft ground, but he did beat Secret Investor, slammed him over 2 miles, 3 furlong over hurdles at Ascot on good to soft ground, so he'd probably be all right. He shapes like an out-and-out stayer. You know, if he was closing all the time on the runner. The fourth, Give Me a Copper, is building up to be a warm favourite for the Ultima at Cheltenham. Not surprisingly, really, given how well he challenged, but Kimberlite Candy's got an awful lot going for him. And so has Ons de Marlborough of Dan Skelton's. I mean, since he joined Skelton from Ireland, he's just absolutely taken off, and he's a horse just pretty much flying at the moment, enjoying his racing, thriving, and winning very easily nearly every time he runs. There'd be the two for me. I think, you know, I mean, we've got a favourite, Vicente, who disappoints more often than not these days. I mean, surely there's got to be something better handicapped than him in the race. He's a 10-year-old. He's normally better a little bit later in the spring. Obviously,
all
the
ground there as well.
The ground will be going in his favour, I suppose. But I don't think that race at Taunton was all that much when he was third last time. So, Ons de Marlborough and Kimberlite Candy, my two against the field.
Perfect. And Brendan, are you siding with James? Are you siding with Paul? Or are you going against the pair?
Throwing a wrinkle in, Stuart, with the Potter's Corner, who we might as well get the negatives out of the way. He's £12 higher than his penultimate win in Wincanton, but I think he should be on a hat-trick. I think he was just about to get back and follow up in Wincanton the last day when he clouded the second last and came down. Now, he is inclined to clout the odd fence, but he's fundamentally a sound jumper. He is the lesser-spotted, lightly raced 9-year-old, so there is some upside there, and I think there's some serious upside with the trip. He looks a remorseless galloper. I think he'll improve for the trip, and he's around 12 or 14 to 1. So what can possibly go wrong?
Absolutely. And we will head over to Lingfield now, where there are fewer things that can go wrong because there's no obstacles for them to jump. We'll start off with the Betway Heaver Sprint Stakes. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. And James, can we get some prices, please?
Encore Adore is our 15-8 favourite. Gorgeous Nora is 100-30. Corinthian Knight 7-2. Gracious John 11-2. Royal Birth 11-2. And Ornate is 9-1.
Perfect. And we'll go to you first. Paul, what are your thoughts here?
Me? God, what am I thought? When I realised we had to cover flat racing, I put my head in my hands to start with. It's a jump season, for God's sake. What are they doing, putting televised flat racing on? But there you go. So a slight little moan. I think Corinthia Knight is miles better than he has been running. He ran into a million blind alleys last time. He's got some really, really good form round here, especially at 5 furlongs. He's got track one. Might be able to get an easy lead. He's the one to beat for me.
And Brendan?
Oh, I thought this was a brutally hard race, Stuart. I pitched the over-under on the winning distance at a short head. If you push me for one, Gorgeous Nora has improved since going to Archie Watson. Mare in form, good draw, should be well positioned in the race. It sets up well for her. She might be the one to win by a short head, but not a strong opinion.
Perfect. And James, do you have a strong opinion on the race?
Similarly, not a very strong opinion, but I thought Ornate might be slightly overpriced, seeing as 2 starts ago when he was running against the favourite for this race, Encore Dora, he was only beaten the neck. And, you know, that's really my own angle, as a value angle. He'll probably go ahead and, you know, lead, but again, it could be a strong pace. Originally, I thought Gorgeous Nora could run well, but she's been running a lot over 6 furlongs, and this is the drop to 5. She might just get a little out of pace like she did the last day, even that was over 6, so... It's a tricky race, but I'm going to stick with Ornate at the prices.
Perfect. And James, we'll stick with you. Paul Keeley's already told us that Wissahickon wins the Betway Winter Derby Stakes. Can you tell us how short he is?
Currently, he is 1-3. Master of the World is 7-1. Hathal is 8-1. Big Country 12-1. Courthouse 12-1 and 14-1 bar.
And I mean, he's a very short price there at 1-3. But can you see him getting beat?
No, I can't really, to be honest. He's easily beat several of these rivals, and I can really see him doing it again. I can also see him being a proper Group 1 performer this year. I know he has entries in Dubai on World Cup night, but I'm not sure they're going to go there, and he probably will go for the All-Weather Championships final. But if I was kind of the connections, I'd be looking at the Prix de Gagné at the start of the season and the Tashas Gold Cup at the Kerr. Like, he could be ideal for those races if the ground stayed on the good side.
Perfect. And, I mean, there's only 7 runners. Do you see an each-way angle for... the placing behind him, or is it a no-bet race for you?
It's probably a no-bet race for me, but Hathal is probably the one. I'd probably have him second favourite over Master of the World. You know, he's coming into the race on good form, and he ran a really nice race the last day, beating a nice horse in Goring, so he would probably be the one, but I think it's just a watching brief for me on this one.
Perfect. And Brendan Poole, do either of you have an angle to this race?
No, not really. I mean, Wissahickon is running borderline Group 1 figures on the bridle around there, hasn't he? You know what I mean? So he's just going to win as long as he gets a run. Yeah, Frankie got him in a little bit of trouble last time, but he just picked up and cruised by a Big Country, who I think might be second again. You know, at least we know he's fit and well, and he has been running well, and he likes his small field. So, but you know, I'm not going to have a bet. I shall watch it. I'd love to see how Wissahickon gets on for the rest of the year.
Brendan?
Well, as the lads have covered it, there's not a lot to say. I mean, Wissahickon has climbed very high, very fast. The only thing you might look into here is that it was a complete dawdle, but they've taken care of that by putting Courthouse in. So the race should be run at a reasonable gallop, and he should pick them up and win. As a 1-3 shot should.
Perfect. Paul, you'll be very happy. We're going back over fences now. We've got the Bet Victor Bobby Joe Chase at Fairy House minus Presenting Percy. What do you make of Presenting Percy and the fact that we're not going to see him again?
I mean, obviously, it's up to connections, whatever they want to do to a horse. It's their decision. But if I was a punter who would back Presenting Percy, I would be absolutely horrified at the Gold Cup prep he's had. How on earth do you go to the Gold Cup without having a run over fences for a year? I mean, if he doesn't drift on the day, and I'll be staggered. And it's all because of the ground, and I wouldn't mind. 2 years ago, they said the ground, good ground was the making of him when he absolutely, you know, stormed up the hill to win the Potemps. And obviously, they had no choice last year but to run him on anything other than soft ground. But now, you know, I mean, he's wrapped in cotton wool. He's favourite for the Gold Cup. Nobody's seen him other than beating rubbish over hurdles once. You know what I mean? He now goes into the Gold Cup with nothing approaching the best form, because loads of other horses have improved. We don't know where he is. I hate criticising connections for horses. We don't know whether he's had a problem. You know, and I saw Jessica Herring getting criticised for writing sizing John off for the season, but he's had a load of injuries. This horse, they just don't seem to want him on run him on good ground that he handles. And now he goes to the Gold Cup without a run over fences for a year. I think it's bonkers.
Yeah, I would agree with you. James, it probably makes it a more competitive betting heat, however, because I imagine he would have been a short price favourite. How do you bet now?
That it does, Stuart. It's Alpha de Zobos are 9-4 joint favourite with Radvinden. Magic of Light 3-1. Pleasant Company 8-1. Outlander is also 13-2.
Okay. And sticking with yourself, James, how do you see the race playing out?
I fell in Alpha de Zobo. I thought he ran a blinder the last day in the Tiestes, and he just seems coming into the race in really good form. When the two that, you know, Radvinden is coming off a long break, and I think this is nearly more a prep race for him for the national. So that's why I ended up siding with Alpha de Zobo, just because he's coming into the race in such good form.
Okay, and Brendan?
Yeah, I think Alpha should be fab. I think Radvinden is making the market. I think Magic of Light will go off second fab. She got beaten hunting the last day, but that wasn't her bag at all. She's a remorseless stayer. She's sort of half interesting for the Grand National, if that's the way they want to go. She gets the weight here. I thought a 3-1. I didn't think she'd go off 3-1. I thought she was probably just the play as an improving mare in the race.
Brilliant. And Paul?
I'd have made a fav. I mean, lots of these other horses that promise a lot and really fail to deliver most of the time, haven't they? But, you know, I mean, and she's in absolutely cracking form. I mean, I wouldn't knock that run at Huntingdon. That was a perfectly good run against a good horse only 6 days after she's won a graded race at Ascot. She's in terrific form. And over fences, she didn't half jump well as well. I think she'd win. She's getting chunks of weight. She's getting £12 off Alpha de Zobo and Raffinden and a full stone off Outlander. I think she's got a massive chance.
Perfect. Lads, I'm going to open the floor to you all. There are plenty of other races going on Saturday. Kempton, Newcastle, Chepstow, Lingfield, plus Fairy House and Wolverhampton. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to give a mention to?
Go on then. There's obviously some interesting horses at different places. We've got Dickie Diver, who is a reasonably short time for the Albert Bartlett, has only run once over hurdles, but obviously that was a close second to Lisnagar Oscar, who's bolted up at Haydock last week. That runs in the 2:30 at Cheltenham, well worth keeping an eye out. I hope it runs really well so I can lay the arse off it at Cheltenham, because it would be too inexperienced and people would go mad over it. So we'll look at that. That is definitely an interesting horse. There was something else. If anybody else wants to take over while I go looking for it.
Yes, well, Stuart, if I could draw your attention to probably the worst race that is being run tomorrow, the 140 in Fairy House. Chabby Artist will be the fab here. This ran actually very well in Gorham behind the big dog, finished third, but was 100-1. So it was kind of one that the boy Rodway would call a smelly run, and then didn't back up the next day. Went very lucky to get the bad each way punters out. It would have finished fourth, but the horse was going to finish third, made a mistake at the last. So I wouldn't be surprised to see regression here tomorrow. And it's a complete match. The other horse that has a chance is Castle Bellingham, who ran well in his rules debut, finishing third down in Clonmel. If Chaviar just underperforms, which must be a big runner, you're probably going to be getting something like 9-4, 5-2 about Castle Bellingham. I'd be happy enough to play at that price.
Perfect. Very interesting angle. And James, anything you want to highlight, or should we go back to Paul?
Yeah, I'll highlight one here in the Kempton 115 tomorrow, Burrow's Edge. He's been off the track for 301 days, but the last run that he had was in a really good handicap hurdle behind Ballymoy, and nearly everything that finished ahead of him in that race has rated nearly 10 to 15 pounds higher. He was outpaced out the back of the field over 2 miles, and he's just been off for a long time, and he needs to win basically tomorrow in order to get into a couple of the handicaps that he's entered in for Cheltenham. But if you look at that race again, like, he runs an absolute blinder for how outpaced he was, and he really came home strong. I just think, you know, there's enough in the race that he could be a bit of a price tomorrow, with Eric LaRouge probably making the market for him. But I think he could go. He needs to win to get into Cheltenham, and I think Cheltenham is the plan. And it's probably worth going back and actually watching that race in the last day. But he could win tomorrow.
Perfect. And Paul, have you found the other horse you were looking for?
Yes. It was the 340 at Chepstow. The attempts qualified must be the last one, I'd have thought. Paul Nichols, well, cap course, won a decent chase, won one, you know, really, really easily early in the season. But he's only six, decided to put him back over hurdles. Now, he's rated 141 over fences, 136 over hurdles. And that 136 over hurdles is about at least £25 higher than his hurdles form suggests, but Nichols knows what he's doing. He's put him in there. He's got him in the Albert Bartlett. Just quite interesting. I don't know what price he'd be. It won't surprise me if he's favourite, but I think Cap Course is a horse with a lot of ability.
Perfect. Now it's nap time.
This will not be beaten.
Paul, do you want to kick us off?
I think I'm going to go the Ida Chase 240 at Newcastle and Kimberlite Candy, because I just think he's overpriced.
Perfect. Brendan?
Petit Palais in the 240 at Kempton.
Brilliant. And James?
I'm going to the all-weather, the 350 in Linkfield. There's a mile handicap here, and it looks like the market could form here because there's a couple of last-time-out winners, and oh, this is us running it. But I'm going to go for Goring. He struggled to get his head in front recently, but has been running really well against some very good company. And he's also been a little bit unlucky. He should have won three starts ago, but the gap closed on him when running against Toast New York and Scarlet Dragon. Two starts ago, he looked like he was going to give Wizahicken something to really think about, and was only kind of a length down before kind of tiring late on and getting squeezed by Big Country, and ran very creditably. Then ran really creditably against Hathal, who is a good hard-knocking stakes horse who's running in the Winter Derby. I think the ace up the sleeve here as regards value. I think the jockey is going to go really under the radar, and she's still, I think, quite underrated, Georgia Dobby. She sits really well on a horse, and I've seen her settle horses that can be a little bit keen, which this lad can be at times. He's been freshened up, and I think with Georgie on, the public may go somewhere else. I just think the price that he could end up being, I think he's got a great chance, and I think he'll win tomorrow.
Perfect. And after that from James, we could all do with catching our breath. So we'll have a quick advert, and then we'll be back with Sunday's action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Sunday's action is at Nace, Fontwell and Carlisle. The big race of the day at Fontwell is the NetBet Casino National Spirit Hurdle. If the cap fits, looks likely to go off favourite, James.
Yeah, he does indeed, and I think he'll be very tough to beat here as well. Back over this trip of 2 miles, four, even when you look at his race against Olgaard the previous day over this kind of similar distance, it was really only getting going towards the end of the race, and then the drop back to 2 miles. He still ran very creditably behind Verdana Blue that day, but I think he'll be very hard to beat today over this trip.
Brendan, agree or disagree?
Yes, totally agree. I'm really interested in when he steps up to 3 miles, which is I think is the trip he wants. But the boy Fry likes to take things softly, so be it. I think this trip should just be enough. Best horse in the race should win.
Paul, best horse in the race should win?
Best horse in the race, yes. Should win, probably. I mean, there are penalties involved. I have a feeling he's going to be pretty short. And that makes me want to look elsewhere. I think Vision de Flow wants to go further than 2 miles as well. I don't think he's run at all badly, either in the Kingwell or against Bouvardier at the time before. He is quite consistent. It's a while since he won. But I think he's got half a chance, and I might take a little chance.
Perfect. And we'll stick with you, Paul. Any other fancies?
Yeah, just one more. 150 at Fontwell. Just a horse I've been keeping an eye on called Hell of a Good. Won three starts ago. Travelled really, really well at Chepstow last time. Almost jumped the last in front. Didn't quite get home in the ground. And he did win at three starts ago. But the way he travels, I have a feeling he might appreciate coming back in trip. I think it's 2 mile 5.5. So I'll be having a go on him, 150, Hell of a Good.
Perfect. And James, I'll go to you next, because I know Brendan has a battery of tips for us, so I won't make you follow him. I'll let you go first.
Thanks very much. There's a grade 2 hurdle in Nace tomorrow. It's a pretty poor renewal. Like, if you had a horse that was 25 or 33-1 for the Supreme, they'd be going off favourite in this. But I'm going to go with Chosen Mate in it. He just looks fairly solid, and he should run his race, and you know, that's more than probably you could say about a lot of these. Saying that, he probably will be towards the head, the front of the market, but he should be very tough to beat.
Perfect. Now, Brendan, hit us with what you've got.
Well, I've just realised I have a cheeky little national spirit segue into Uisce Baja, which is the Irish for whiskey, in the 230 handicapper, taking a real chance letting this off in off 126. That'll take a bit of beating. As James said, chosen mate, little bit disappointed the last day, probably because I backed him, but that he didn't go by Sonoria. But she's a fair mare, and it was only his second run under rules. First time he's ever come off the bridle. A repeat of that might be enough, and logically he should improve. And finally, this forerunner chase, this is very interesting. Dr. Phoenix probably doesn't want to win because he's got 150 for the grand annual, so they'd be happy with that. Avenir Dune V is better going right-handed, so that just leaves you with Cadmium. So there's three.
Perfect. And while I've got you all, I'm just going to ask you one more question. Brendan, of the cases made by Paul and James for other horses today, which was the most convincing for you?
Probably the one he napped, because he napped us, the horse in the Eider. That would probably be the one.
Brilliant. James?
Paul seemed pretty keen on Wizahicken there, so I'll stick with that.
I can't even remember what I said, Stuart, let alone what anybody else said. What a stupid question.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, no. That's talking of reviews. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review, subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Don't forget to listen to our weekly golf podcasts every Wednesday and our football shows on Thursdays. Maddie will be back on Monday to review the weekend action and look ahead to the racing at Doncaster and Newbury. Until next time, goodbye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.